praise the hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah. Louder than the unbelief, I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Sing a little louder.
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 Let's sing a little louder.
Let's sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. good morning. That was a great word, Tim. Man, we could just give an invitation, pray, and go eat, couldn't we? That was good stuff. I have enjoyed your church. In fact, the last time I preached here, I was in a fishbowl. There was a myriad of plexiglass up here, and I couldn't see any one of you. And most of you look better. But it's a pleasure to be here. I did enjoy working with your search committee. When I met your search committee, I gave them two very small pieces of advice and answered a lot of questions. First piece of advice that I gave them is, remember, this is not a human resources exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. God has already chosen your pastor. Your job is to go and find him. And the second piece of advice I gave them is, don't go and look for necessarily a pastor in a smaller church who's ready to step up to a little bit larger church. Go and look for a pastor who has been in a multi-staff environment, who knows how to manage a larger congregation, who knows how to manage a congregation twice this size or three times this size, because he's been in those environments, and he will lead you on. And there's a lot of value in that. And I'm thankful for the godliness that your search committee showed. And I'm grateful for their persistence in staying with the mission of looking for God's man. There's a difference in going and, you know, looking at resumes and qualifications and trying to find somebody good, and then seeking out the one whom God has called to be here. And I know I can say with all confidence that God has called Ben and Sarah Moses and the family to be here at First Baptist Church of Fairleigh. You guys are blessed. The title of the message this morning is this: Christ's handcrafted gift to the church. Christ's handcrafted gift to the church. I'm not from around here. I am from Oklahoma. And one of the first times I met Ben, Ben knew I was from Oklahoma, and he said, "Hey, man, I know a place where, you know, we can go and take a look at some horses and maybe ride some horses." I said, "Man, that sounds like a lot of fun." He knew I was from Oklahoma and assumed that we're all cowboys out there. And, you know, I looked at Ben and I thought, well, you know, I can see him maybe wearing a boot and boots and hat. Can you see that? Can you see that guy? You know, and, you know, I could see that. So he took me to this ranch, and we went and just took a look around, and he said, "Hey, these are some beautiful horses, but I know where we can really ride." I said, "Okay." So we went, and he took me to this place, and he said, "This one's a little rough. I'm going to go ahead and get on her first." And I said, "Okay, you do that." And he got on the horse, and man, your pastor looks tall in the saddle. I'm saying, he just looks good on a horse. He got up on this horse, and man, that thing started bucking, and then it just took off, and he started bouncing around on that horse. He said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! Wait a minute! What is going on here?" And he started hollering, "Help! Somebody help me! Somebody help me!" I reached over, I grabbed that cord, I pulled it out of the wall, and I said, "Just get off the thing, would you?" I love your pastor, and he really is a gift to the church, and he also has a great sense of humor, and you know what? He already loves you. He's already bragged on you. We talk often, and he loves this church. He's enjoying getting to know you, and God is going to do, because he's able to do, exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or think. That's exactly what he's going to do, and certainly, I want to show you in Scripture how Pastor Ben Moses is God's handcrafted gift to this church. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians. It's Paul's letter to the churches at Ephesus. This letter was written to the churches at Ephesus, and it was passed around from one small congregation to another, and read aloud, no doubt, in that very oral tradition. And because there was not a big printing press, there were not photocopiers, there was one copy of this letter There may have been some handwritten duplicates that were made, and there certainly were, as people realized the far-reaching value of this letter. And so this letter was written to the churches at Ephesus. In fact, if we go to the very first verse, the Apostle Paul is writing in the very first verse, and he says, I, Paul, the apostle, to the saints at Ephesus. And we're going to get to that in a moment as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and I have a clicker here, and I just found it. Oh, there's a button on the side. Thank you. It's on? There we go. Would you give him a hand? Thank you. It's going, oh, the down arrow. All right, there we go. Thank you. Would you give him a hand? All right. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, your Bible might say, and he gave some to be apostles, but he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why did he give them? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Would you bow your heads with me? With your head bowed, would you just take a moment to ask the Lord, Lord, would you speak to me this morning? Just ask Him. Lord, would you speak to me? Make it personal. Lord, would you speak to me this morning? Thank Him for His Word, that it is God-breathed. And if you're able, go ahead and tell the Lord now, Lord, when I know you've spoken to me this morning, I'm going to obey you. Or maybe your prayer should be, Lord, when you've spoken to me this morning, give me the courage to obey you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we have opened your word and we've read your word, that we would hold it very sacred because it is God-breathed. It's without error. Your word is truth. Jesus said that himself. Your word is truth. So, Father, we're listening. And Lord, would you speak to us, and as you do, give us the courage to do what you're asking us to do. Father, we pray that we would not insult you, sir, by merely being hearers, but Lord, we want to be doers today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in verse 11, it says, He gave. He gave. Who is He? Who is He? That's a pronoun. It demands we look and see who He is. And if we go back to verse 7, we say that we see that it says grace was given according to the measure of Christ. And then it follows with several different pronouns for Christ. He. And it moves on to verse 11. And He gave the apostles. So when we look at it in context, we see that it's Christ who gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds, and the teachers to the church. He gave them. Not only did He give them, but He created them. Who created you? Who created you? God did. God did. We're reminded in Psalm 139:13, the psalmist writes, You formed me in my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God made you. He made every cell in your being. He made every single element in your body. He breathed life into you. And likewise, God made Ben Moses. God also has continued to make Ben Moses, as he's continued to make you, create you, and recreate you, as he became regenerate, as he became born again, as he professed faith in Jesus Christ. And God saw fit that he would be born into the right home, at the right place, profess faith in Christ at the right time, have the right life experiences, so that he could come here to serve in this capacity. And God is continuing to make him. God is continuing to create him. I remember when I was a kid, I'm a pastor's kid, and I remember that because I was the pastor's kid, I was forced to be in children's choir. I was forced to be in those things that I didn't want to be. I was forced to be in productions, and we did this production for the church, and my mother made me promise that I would not ad lib because I was known for doing that in productions, just making up my own lines because it was more fun that way. I was the only one that appreciated it. My mother didn't appreciate it at all. But we all had this shirt that we were wearing that said Kids Under Construction. In fact, I think that was the name of the musical. How many of you old children's choir people remember the Kids Under Construction thing? Listen, we are all kids under construction. Every one of us who are God's children, we are continually under construction. And God made you. He created you. He's continuing to create you. And he created Ben Moses, and he gives Ben Moses to the church. How do we know this? He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. Now, shepherds and teachers should not be understood as two offices. Shepherds and teachers is one office. If we look at it in the original language, if we look at the way the words are put together there in the original language, it's very obvious. He gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers. He gave all these, but he gave shepherds and the teachers, that's what we're talking about this morning, as a gift to the church. And we see that there is a very personalness of Christ's gift. A very personalness to Christ's gift. He personally created. He personally gave. He personally gives Ben Moses to this church. But not only is there a personalness, but there's also a purposefulness. A purposefulness to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, what does it mean to equip? What does it mean to equip? I love the outdoors. I love backpacking. I love fishing. I've backpacked all over the world. I love backpacking, and I need to be sure that where I go, I am outfitted for where I am going. If I'm going to be in the jungles of Africa, I need to be outfitted differently than if I'm going to be in Southeast Asia somewhere, or if I'm going to be in a colder climate somewhere, if I'm going to be in a hot climate, in the deserts of West Africa. I've backpacked through there in 120 degree weather. I have to be outfitted differently. And God has chosen and called, he's created the pastor to equip the saints, to give the saints what they need. And God's called him to do that here. Now, who is a saint? How many are comfortable calling themselves a saint? Are you comfortable calling yourselves a saint? I hope every hand goes up, because the saints are those who are redeemed by God. A saint isn't a dead person that we pray to. A saint is someone who is redeemed by God. You are a saint. I want you to turn to that person next to you and say, "You're a saint." Tell him. All right, sir, she said it to you. You can hold that, all right? Keep it there. You are. According to the scriptures, you're a saint. And God has called your pastor to equip the saints. Now, it would be absolutely ludicrous for me as a backpacker to go and buy hundreds of dollars of gear and then not go anywhere, wouldn't it? In fact, I literally have thousands of dollars of backpacking gear for the places I've had to go, the things that I've had to do around the world. I have thousands of dollars in survival gear, backpacking gear. But why in the world would I buy that stuff, be equipped with that stuff, know how to use that stuff, and never go anywhere? Well, there are people that collect all kinds of things. I met a fellow not long ago who bought a guitar from me. I love guitar. Didn't this fellow do a great job down here this morning? I love guitar. I love the instrument. I like to play. I'm not a great guitarist. Tim Turner plays guitar. Cleve Persinger over here on our staff plays guitar. They're both better than me. But I love guitars, and I have several guitars. But I met a fellow who collects guitars, and he doesn't play. He works on guitars, but he doesn't play. And I asked him, I said, why don't you play? He said, I'm just not any good, but aren't they beautiful, you know? And I thought, man, I'm selling you this guitar, and this poor guitar is going to be orphaned in your home. I wanted to take it back and say, no, you can't have that. And any guitarists in here? I sold him my SG, okay? It's a beautiful guitar. Black on black, beautiful guitar. And I sold it to him, and it's not going to be played. It's going to hang on his wall. Listen, there are a lot of people who come to church, and they're equipped. They know a lot about the Scriptures. They can win in Bible trivia, but they are not using what they know. They aren't applying what they know. They aren't living out what they know. And look at this. The Scripture tells us that the pastor is to equip the saints for what? For what? For the work of the ministry. Now, wait a minute. I thought that the pastor was to do the work of the ministry. The pastor does the work of the ministry because he is a saint called by God and is a part of the body of Christ called the church. That's why he does the ministry. But it's the pastor's role to equip the saints, to equip the church to carry out the ministry. We often misunderstand and we say, well, you know, that's the pastor's ministry. That's what the pastor does. This, you know, and people have this expectation. Hey, this pastor's going to come and he's going to attract people. You know, Ben is kind of young and kind of young at heart, and he's going to attract all these younger families. Nope, not his job. Okay? People have these ideas. Man, you know, Ben knows how to do that. He knows how to do missions. He knows how to do that. He's going to really expand the scope of what our church is going to be able to do. Yes, he will expand the scope of what your church is able to do and the way your church engages, but he will not be the one doing it. It's you folks. How do we know this? Because he is a biblical pastor, and his job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, wait a minute. Maybe we need to define ministry. That's a great idea. Let's define ministry. What is ministry? Well, we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people to Christ, but Jesus defined the ministry, he defined the mission, he defined the purpose of the church really in two very basic ways. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. What's the Great Commandment? Jesus was asked. What's the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus said, what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The other like unto it to what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So the Great Commandment, love God, love your neighbor. Great Commandment, love God, love your neighbor. Well, does that trump the law given by Moses? No, because Jesus went on to say that all the commandments are summed up in these two. And you can categorize all of the law. You can categorize the Ten Commandments and beyond. You can categorize those in two commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. And that's what we're called to do as the church. Love God, love our neighbor. The other thing we're called to do is what Jesus gave to his disciples. And we call that the Great Commission, to make disciples. To make disciples. The only transitive active verb in that passage that we call the Great Commission. If you prefer the King James, it's that scripture that says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Well, that word "teach" does not mean to instill knowledge. That word "teach" means to demonstrate and mentor along. So we use that word "teach." We a better translation for that, and I hope it says it in maybe the Bible you use, is disciples, make disciples, make followers of, make emulators of, make liver outers of. Okay? That isn't good grammar, but you understand what this Oki is saying, all right? Bring others with you to live out what I've taught you to live out. So the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, make disciples. It is not the pastor's responsibility to even make disciples. It's his responsibility to equip the saints to make disciples. How many of us are saints? Hands up. If you're born again, you're a saint. It's our job to make disciples. It's our job as the church to carry out the mission of God. It's our job to live out Acts 1:8, making Christ known in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our ends of the earth. Well, it is very, very purposeful. Very purposeful to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ. There are several, no doubt, in this congregation, because it happens in every congregation, who says, "You know what? I think we're getting a pastor who's going to be able to grow our church." It's not the pastor's responsibility to grow the church. I'm going to say that again. It is not the pastor's responsibility to grow the church. It's the pastor's responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And this building up is not just numerical growth. This building up of the body of Christ is growing in maturity. And we'll see that as we move on in the passage. It's becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. It's helping the church to function in the way that Christ called the church and calls the church to function, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 in just a moment, a little bit more. So you might go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is after Peter has preached an amazing message. Peter, the one who denied Jesus how many times? Three times. He denied Jesus three times. He's the one that just had foot and mouth disease, something horrible. He was just kind of a rough around the edges kind of guy. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit empowered him, and the Lord would have it that he would be the one to preach this inaugural message of the church. And as he preached this gospel message, more than 3,000 people were saved. What a day. Can you imagine? And after those 3,000 people were saved, we pick up in verse 42 and look at this. Here's what they did. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You see, just as it's the pastor's responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, it's the saints' responsibility to devote themselves, to give themselves, to pour themselves into what is being taught. There's responsibility of both here. I remember, my wife Gay certainly remembers, we've known each other since first grade. Pray for her. Today is her birthday, by the way. And so she is able to spend her birthday with you folks. And we had a great time last night. We got to town early, and we celebrated her birthday at her favorite restaurant in the entire state, which happens to be nearby here, Food and Friends. All right? We love Food and Friends. Anybody else love Food and Friends? Nice place. But listen, folks. God has called the church to devote themselves to the Word of God. The apostles' teaching was the Word of God. And God has called your church to devote themselves to the Word of God, to the teaching that the pastor brings you. If we were to boil this little short verse down to just its words of action, the pastor is to equip for work for building. Look at this. To equip for what? For work. What does that mean? Rolling up your sleeves and getting it done. So, to equip the church for knowledge? Nope. To equip the church so they can win Bible trivia? Nope. To equip the church so we can know a lot about the Bible and answer all those questions and help people? No. To equip the saints for what? Work. To equip the saints for work. Well, what kind of work? Work of the ministry. What is the ministry? Very simple. Loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself, and making disciples among all people groups. That simple. But it's a lifelong task. But it's what the church is called to do. For the building up of the body of Christ. The result in good work is the building up of the body of Christ. Not only is it a purposeful gift, but it's also a productive gift. Look at the productive intent of Christ's gift. Verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is so reflective of what was happening in the early church. If we go back to Acts chapter 2. Look at this. I'm going to read verse 42 again, and then I'm going to jump down and I'm just going to read all the way to the end of the chapter, all right? It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, as many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Wouldn't that be an amazing church? We know that wasn't a Baptist church. Baptist churches must have come along later because they had all things in common. They were loving each other all the time. Wow. Verse 45. And they were, oh my. Verse 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds to any who had need. And day by day, attending the temple courts, breaking bread together in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. See, they weren't Baptists, were they? Praising God and having favor with all the people. Nobody was hating on them. Nobody was hating on them, and they weren't hating on anybody else. And look what the Lord did. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Who grows the church? Christ grows His church. But Christ grows His church when God's people are obedient. And God's people can't be obedient unless the pastor is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and helping to organize the saints for the work of the ministry and prodding on the saints for the work of the ministry. And as that happens, God starts to do a beautiful work in the church as the church engages in their Jerusalem, in their community. Listen, this church, you will engage deeply in your community. You know how I know? Because Ben Moses is your pastor. You will engage in your Jerusalem. You'll engage in your Judea and your Samaria. What's that mean? You'll engage with people who aren't like you. Your Samaria, those are the people that make you uncomfortable. Those people that you're a little, you know, unsure about. You say, well, as a good Christian, I'm not really prejudiced against anything or anybody. Who are the people you don't want your grandkids hanging out with or your kids hanging out with? Who are the people that you pray to God your kids or grandkids don't marry? That's a pretty good indication of who your Samaria might be. And God will lead you as a church to engage your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and your ends of the earth. You know how I know that'll happen? Because Ben Moses is your pastor. And God has equipped Ben Moses to be a godly pastor. People might have the idea, well, you know, he's a new pastor. No, he's not. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been doing this for a couple of decades. Well, but this is his first senior pastorate. Yep, it is. But he's been doing pastoral ministry for 2 decades. And God knew that this church would need a mature pastor, an experienced pastor. And Ben, God also knew that this pastor in this church might even for a little while need a pair of asbestos underwear, all right? Every pastor does. Why? Because, well, you know, this church probably doesn't. I probably don't even need to go there. But some churches have mean people in them every once in a while. This church has never had any mean people, have you? And mean people can steal the joy of a pastor. And here's the frightening thing. When mean people steal the joy of the pastor, it's not long at all before the enemy steals the joy of a church. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is our what? The joy of the Lord is our what? Our strength. When you lose your joy, it's an indication that you are no longer yielding to the Holy Spirit. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Because without the empowerment, without the yielding to the Holy Spirit, we are absolutely powerless. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. How long? Until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at that. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we measure maturity? Well, I'm doing better than that other fellow in the church. Nope. How are you doing compared to Jesus? Jumping to verse 15 for now. But rather, speaking the truth in love and growing up in every way unto Him who is the head in Christ. So it's a very productive gift that God has given you. Very productive gift. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. But it's also a protective gift. Going back to verse 14, why? Why? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. God has given you a pastor who is also a protective gift to the church. And Ben, you have a responsibility to protect the church, to love the church, to care for the church, to equip the church. Church, you have a responsibility to equip, be equipped, to carry out the work of the ministry, to be a part of the building up of the body of Christ, to protect the unity of the faith. And as the pastor equips you, and as you are protected and built up, you will no longer be jerked around from one belief system to another. You'll be focused on a singular mission to which God has called you, to make disciples among all people groups, to give glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to make Him known, because He is the only one worthy of our praise. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You are God. God, I thank You that Christ gave us the gift of a pastor. I'm thankful, Lord, that Christ Himself fashioned, molded, shaped, created this pastor. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. That Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And by Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that was made. We're thankful that Jesus was there at creation. And Lord, we're grateful that before the foundation of the world, You knew that You would create Ben Moses and bring Ben and Sarah and the kids here, because You fashioned Ben for this church. And Lord, You fashioned this church to glorify You and make You known in and through this geographical region. And so, Father, I pray that Ben would be who You called him to be. Lord, that his family would be who You've called them to be. And Lord, that this church would be who You've called her to be, so that You might be glorified, so others might know of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, so people will know the truth, and the truth will certainly set them free. Lord, I pray that this day would begin a new journey for this congregation. And Father, our prayer is that we would not just be hearers today, but Lord, that we would be doers. With your head bowed, would you take just a moment to ask the Lord, Lord, what have You said to me today? Just ask Him. Hey, Lord, what have You said to me today? Maybe the Lord's reminded you of your responsibility as a church member. Maybe the Lord has reminded you that you aren't to expect the pastor to grow the church, but you're to be about the business of being obedient, living out the great commission and the great commandment, and being the church, not just going to church. Maybe the Lord showed you today that you need Him. Maybe today the Lord is leading you to unite with this body of believers called First Baptist Church of Fairleigh.